Well, I am, I don't know, I'm just really glad that Alan had us take a moment to stand in awe. When I saw that song was the one right before the message and I heard what his plan was, I was like, this fits perfectly. Because ever since I started kind of formulating this message, when Bill told me he was going to go out of town, that's what I've wanted for this message, was to give us, you and me, an opportunity to kind of be forced almost into standing in awe, because I just don't think that we do that enough. You know, with all the stuff that we have going on, all the busyness of life, and just the interest that take our attentions to the things of this world, I think we regularly and often miss the opportunities to truly stand in awe of what God has done. And so this message is going to be, I think, a little different than an ordinary sermon. You know, I see most sermons are kind of intended to teach you perhaps some spiritual truths that you can take with you and kind of incrementally, as time goes by, grow spiritually in those. And there will be that in this, I hope. But for the most part, what I really want for you is to really, at least during the next, you know, 35 minutes or so, however long this ends up being, to stand in awe of God and to ponder his majesty, to think about whatever it is that I'm about to present to you in such a way that it makes you, it kind of forces your spirit and your heart to stand in awe of him. Because there are some deep, deep truths of God that our human minds, I think, just can't really comprehend. And we get little glimpses of what God really means. And sometimes there's revelations that God gives certain people at certain times where we understand it on a deeper level, perhaps. But the capacity of our human mind is such that we can't understand the deep things of God in full. I don't know if we ever can. But my hope today is to kind of make you or force you into that position of standing in awe before him by just sheerly pondering some things that I don't think we oftentimes think about. Maybe in a group or a Bible study, if we're reading the scripture, or we may get captivated for a moment, but as we live our general lives, I think we miss those moments oftentimes. And today's message is 100% about Jesus. That's what it's about. The person of Jesus, Jesus who is God, the Creator, the Savior, the Lord, the Redeemer. So when you walk out of here in a little bit, I hope you walk out having seen Jesus and you walk out taking him with you into the world. And we're going to start here. You know, I find it very interesting that Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1 both begin the exact same way. And I know John is not the first book of the New Testament. I know it's the fourth of the Gospels. But if you consider how the Gospels kind of run parallel to one another in terms of chronology, in terms of the story of Jesus, it's kind of like God begins his Old and his New Testaments the exact same way. And he says this, in the beginning. Now imagine having never read a single word of the Bible and you would just read those three words. Without the frame of reference of any, you know, ever having seen scripture, what in the world would God possibly mean? I want you to stop for a moment right now and just ponder that. What does God mean? Why did he write this? The beginning of what? The beginning of time, the beginning of creation, the beginning of the world, the beginning of himself? The beginning of what? I think these are three words that carry a lot of power and meaning, but we glance right over them a lot of the time. We're so familiar with them, we don't really stop to think
about what God even means. And if you had never encountered scripture and you read these three words, you would have no idea what he was about to talk about. Just stopping there should make us stand in awe. But then if you go on in Genesis 1, we see that God gives us a little more of the picture. In the beginning of whatever, the beginning of something, God. Now, just those four words reveal something about the nature of God. If you kind of break this down syntactically, what this means is that in the beginning, God was already in existence. Now, we know this truth. I think most of us would be able to tell someone this truth. But how often do you think about this truth? That before the beginning even began, God. Before there was anything, there was God. That's hard for our human minds to comprehend, I think. We get little glimpses of it and we can kind of process it intellectually, but supernaturally and spiritually, before anything existed, before the beginning, in the beginning, during the beginning, in the middle of the beginning, and at the end of the beginning, God. And John 1:1 gives us a similar picture. In the beginning of whatever it is that God is going to tell us was the Word. Now, we know the Word is Jesus. So before this beginning even existed, whatever that is, God was present. He pre-existed the beginning. Jesus existed. He pre-existed the beginning. Now, our human minds think in terms of time. We are bound by time. Everything we do revolves around time. And yet, God tells us in the first four words of his word that he is not. Neither is God the Son, the Word. Well, John 1:1 goes on and continues this picture that I want your hearts and minds to kind of ponder the complexity of, the supernatural nature of. And I hope by seeing it and thinking about it and meditating on it that your heart also stands in awe. So in the beginning was God, pre-existing everything. In the beginning was God the Son, the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, most of us love this little section of scripture because it's really kind of cool. But it's very complex if you stop and think about it. In the beginning, before the beginning began, whatever that beginning is, was God and was Jesus. And in some way, the Word was also with God. So we learn something else about the nature of God. He is eternal. He pre-existed the beginning of everything. So did his Son. And by being with God, we learn that the Word is also separate from God. You can't be with something if you aren't separate. But then we go on and we learn that the Word was God. And we're beginning to see a picture that I think the human mind can't truly grasp. Before time, before space, before matter, before the universe, before the world, before anything, God existed. He pre-existed all of that. So did Jesus. They were together, and yet they were the same. That should make you stand in awe. And the fact that you probably can't explain it should enhance that sense of awe as you stand before God. And then we get a reiteration of the same concept, that before the beginning even began was Jesus. And Jesus was with his Father. Jesus was God, and he was with God again in the beginning. In the first few words of both Testaments, more or less, we have a picture of the relationship between God and his Son and time and space and matter and everything. So going back to Genesis 1:1, what do we then see? What does God then reveal about himself? Well, in the beginning, before time, before everything, God existed. He pre-existed everything. Before the beginning even began was God, and he did something. He created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty cool. And then in John 1:3, we see that the Word, who was God, who was with God, who also pre-existed everything, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. God, Jesus, the Word, did it all. When I read the creation story, when I really make myself stop and read the creation story, which isn't every time, sometimes I read it quickly, kind of give a cursory glance over it, I read the words, but I don't really stop and think about it. But when I do, my mind pictures it. And it is one of those things that when I make myself take note of what God really did, it makes me stand in awe. And if you're like me, if all of us, the 200 or so of us in here today, all read the same book, the same novel, we would all read the same story, but we would picture it differently. We would have a running kind of movie in our mind of the story. Well, when you really stop and read the creation story, that's what my mind does. It pictures it. So it says, in the beginning, God did what? He created the heavens and the earth. There was a moment in time when there was nothing but God in three persons. And then there was something. It goes on and it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Think about that. That is hard to envision. It's hard to picture because we know earth as filled with everything, all kinds of stuff. But at some point, there was nothing but God, and then there was something, and the earth as we know it had no form, and it was empty. Well, what did that look like? Well, I found some pictures that when I saw them kind of made me think of this. Now, we know these pictures are not what it looked like, but I want your minds to be able to formulate that picture and see it. And as I do, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus was not only there, but he did it. Because he was with God, and he was God. Now, the earth was formless and empty. And it goes on and says, darkness was over the surface of the deep. Think about that picture so far. One moment, or whatever you call that period before time even existed, there was nothing but God. And then he began to create. There was darkness over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now think about that. Jesus did that. Oftentimes when I think about Jesus, I think about the man who came and lived on earth, who taught and healed, and then was ultimately crucified. I forget oftentimes that he pre-existed time. He pre-existed creation, and then he was instrumental in doing it. Nothing was made without him. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from night. And let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures. And let birds fly above the earth and across the vault of the sky. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. Now think about what Jesus did. Think about all the fish, all the birds, all the animals that roam the earth. Jesus did that. And when you really stop and think about it, I think it should make you stand in awe. And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Jesus made us. He created us. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. When we think about creation, when we think about all that God has done, you can't separate that from Jesus. He and God were with one another, and they were one another before anything existed, including time. Now, I want to take you back to whatever that thing is before time existed. I don't want to say that time before, because you can't have a time if time doesn't exist. But whenever that was, before creation began to exist, and look at the dynamic that Scripture reveals about God and about his Son. Because we get glimpses of this in Scripture. In John chapter 17, Jesus, as a man here on this earth, spends some time in prayer right before his death. This is a very familiar passage to most of you. But in this passage, there are a couple of references that give us an additional picture of that time before anything existed. In verse 5, Jesus prays. And he's praying as a man, alive, before he's going to die as a man. And he says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. So going back to that time or that moment before in the beginning, when it was just God and it was just the Word and it was just the Spirit, when it was just God and nothing existed, what does this tell us? That Jesus had the glory of his Father. Now, you may know that. You might intellectually be able to tell us that. But do you really stop and think about that? That before anything ever existed, before the beginning even began, that Jesus possessed the glory of God the Father. Some of you, yes, maybe. I don't oftentimes think of that, and when I do, it makes me stand in awe. A little bit later in this same prayer, Jesus is continuing to pray, and he says, Father, I want those you have given me us to be with me where I am. Jesus wants us to be with him in eternity and to see my glory, that glory we just talked about that he had before the world even began, the glory you have given me. Why? Because you loved me before the creation of the world. We get a picture here, an additional element to this picture, that before the beginning even began, this relationship between the Father and the Son was one of love. It's one of glory, and it's one of love. And that's powerful to think about. We probably know it. We probably could say it if someone asked us, but do you stop and stand in awe of that? Titus gives us another little glimpse here, talking about the hope that we have of eternal life. It says, the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. That's in that place over here when nothing else existed but God and Jesus. He was already promising eternal life when it was just him. That's mind-boggling, really. 2 Timothy goes on and gives us an additional picture, adds to that picture of this promise of eternal life, and says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. Now this verse right here, if it doesn't make you stand in awe, I don't know what you're thinking about. Because think about what it's saying. I know me, when I'm not really contemplating the deep truths of God and reading them in his word, if I were just going to think about it kind of casually, I think about what happened in the Garden of Eden where sin entered the world and what happened with Adam and Eve, and I think, oh no, these perfect people who didn't have a sin nature and were given everything, they messed up God's plan. And God now has to come up with a way to redeem it. No. It was always his plan. Before time. Before the world. In this place over here where it was just God, just the Word, and just the Spirit. Before anything was created, before the earth was formless and empty. God's plan was always to promise eternal life through the salvation, through Jesus. Jesus was not his plan B. We didn't mess up his plan. He always knew. Does that not make you stand in awe of his infinite wisdom and goodness and grace and love? So what should we do? This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. We declare God's wisdom. We should declare this plan of his, this gospel, as we call it. It's a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. As his children, this was our destiny, to share and have that same glory that Jesus was given and that Jesus had before time even began. None of the rulers of that age or this age understand it, for if they had, they would not have crucified Jesus. And yet, that was part of God's plan also. So, praise be to God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Why? For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Before the beginning even began, he chose you. He promised you eternal life. He wants you to share in his glory. He wants you to reflect his glory. That was his promise. Long before Adam and Eve were even created. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. The things of this world do not redeem us, but with the precious blood of Christ. He was chosen before the creation of the world. It has always been God's plan from before anything else existed, before time existed, to redeem you and me and everything in this world through the blood of Christ. And that should make us stand in awe. God did choose to reveal this in these last times for our sake. God knew we would need to see Jesus. He knew we would need to read about him and hear about him and see him. He knew we would need to see the miracles. That's why Jesus came, because we needed him. But the plan started long, long, long ago, before we even messed up. Not the plan. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now, what does thinking about any of that really matter? I think some of it's just kind of cool to think about, and it's kind of blows your mind, and it should make us stand in awe. But what is the relevance to our daily lives? Well, we go through a lot of things as humans. You know, we have relationships of all kinds. You know, think about those moments, if you're married, about when you've got one of those nights or one of those brief seasons where the cold distance between you is palpable. Maybe one of you's downstairs, one of you's upstairs, and you haven't spoken in however long. What about with your kids? When one of them is kind of drifting away from the path you know they should take. Or maybe they're in complete out-and-out rebellion, or they're struggling with something. Or what about at your workplace when you're overlooked for that job? Or that raise, or the boss is just driving you crazy to no end, or you don't get the job that you wanted, or the person in the cubicle or the office next to you is annoying as all get out. Or what about when you're facing financial hardship? Or you're just living life, doing the recreational things that we do, out on the ball field or playing in the band. Or what about when you get the news from a doctor? Some grave diagnosis of some illness. Or maybe a loved one dies suddenly, or maybe after a long battle. What does thinking about God's plan in this way do for that? How does it apply? How does the pre-existing nature of Christ, the power of his creation, and the fact and the truth that God had planned this from before time even existed actually apply? Well, I'm going to close in Colossians, and I think when you read a passage like this, it should make it that much more powerful. And it should make the person and the Savior and the Redeemer and the Creator of Christ literally jump off the pages and into your life. It tells us the Son is the image of the invisible God. None of us have actually seen God. But in Christ we can see him. And when the Christ is living in each other, in each of us, we can see God in that through Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Whatever you're experiencing, I don't care what it is, God is trying to use it for Christ. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And that has always been God's plan, to have all things hold together in Christ. He's the head of this body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So what do you think God means by all things hold together in him? That everything was created through him and for him, and that he might have supremacy in all things. Well, here's how I kind of simply put it. And this is very layman's terms, but no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what trial, no matter what struggle, no matter what hardship, no matter what joy, no matter what success, whatever it is you're experiencing, broken relationships, financial trouble, doesn't matter. Whatever those circumstances of life are generating in you, whatever questions they are making you ask, the answer in some form or fashion or facet is Jesus. The trick for us is finding out how Jesus answers the questions and framing our minds and our hearts and aligning our minds and our hearts with God in such a way that we see the answer in Jesus. All things hold together in him. And that has always been God's plan. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God's plan has always been to redeem everything through Christ and his blood, even since before the beginning even began. Now, we're going to have a moment of reflection here, response time, and I want you to just stay seated. I'm going to ask Alan and Cindy and whoever you guys have to come up now. But everyone else, I want you to remain seated. And I've been thinking about this time, because I imagine if you've been here a while, you probably recognize that this ending to our service has kind of evolved a little and changed a little as we've gone around and through. And I listen to what Bill says each week. And one of the things he says is, we don't want you to move around. And there's a reason for that. And as I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about this service, if you think about where we start with worship through fellowship at 10:45. Then we go into worship through song. We worship through testimony. And then we worship through the hearing of God's word. And all of that fits together. Or we try to make it fit together in such a way that you guys out there and us up here are hearing from God. And we want it to be building to this moment. I actually think this time in our service, this last 5 minutes, is perhaps the most important. Because if you are hearing from God, but then you just leave and you don't really have a moment to set your heart and respond to him, you're missing
kind of that conviction moment or that moment of encouragement or that moment of hope or whatever it is God wants to say to your heart. And if you get up to, for whatever reason, bathroom, get the kids, whatever, you're gonna miss that. And you might actually induce others to miss it by distraction. And so I'm gonna encourage you to think about that and think about what Bill and the worship team is really trying to accomplish and what we're trying to accomplish this morning, which is for you to have heard from God throughout the entire service and then to spend some minutes responding to him in your heart. This morning, we're gonna go into that response time through a verse. I'm gonna read the verse, and then I want you just to spend some minutes, a minute maybe, reflecting, meditating on it, and asking God this question. How does any of this, what does any of this mean for me? What are you trying to say to my heart? How is the answer to whatever it is I'm experiencing, Jesus? And then I'm gonna pray, and then the band is gonna close us with just a chorus and a verse. And again, to put our hearts on Christ. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are impossible to understand fully here on this earth. Even in just the first four words of your word, we get a glimpse of you that we really can't truly understand. And I thank you for that. I thank you for being a God that is bigger than my human mind. And that triggers in me and hopefully in us this standing in awe of you, your majesty, your glory, your sovereignty. And then to really read and meditate on this plan you had from before the world began, from before time existed, and that it was always Jesus, and that it was always us in him. Wow. Praise you for being that kind of God, for having that kind of immeasurable love for us, for your creation, that you loved us even before we existed. I pray that every heart, Lord, in this room has seen you this morning at least just a little bit more. A little bit more deeply, a little bit more intimately, and a little bit more in awe. And God, when we go out into the world, I pray that we don't lose that sense of awe, that we find those moments in our days where we see you. We see that redemptive power of your blood that has always been your plan. No matter what we're going through, Lord, I pray that we see that. That we remember that in Christ, all things hold together. That every promise you have ever made is yes in him. And that we live that kind of life, that we live with that kind of heart, that we encounter the world around us and the trials of this life with joy, because that is true. God, thank you. We praise you. Help us just see your son every moment of every day. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.